Studio 360.
I'm thrilled the White House called me tonight because I'm actually working on a hip-hop album. It's a concept album about the life of someone I think embodies hip-hop, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda in 2009, when that seemed like a joke.
You laugh, but it's true. I'm going to be doing the first song from that tonight, and snap along if you like. How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot?
More than 5 years before his musical Hamilton opened and became one of the great cultural works of this century, Lin-Manuel Miranda did kind of a workshop performance for the president at the White House.
A lot smarter by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of the trade and charter.
This past year, he was back there with the whole cast.
Oh, Alexander Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, America sings for you.
The truth is, though, they do owe me.
This is at that encore performance in the East Room.
Not to take undue credit or anything, but this is definitely the room where it happened.
What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton.
No president has brought more pop music marquee firepower to Pennsylvania Avenue. In just the last year, Common, the Lumineers, Usher, Kendrick Lamar, Janelle Monáe, The Roots, the Dap Kings, Blake Shelton, Esperanza Spalding, all of them, and more. In fact, for 8 years, Barack Obama really brought his passions as a real fan to his duties as tastemaker-in-chief. Not just in music, but TV shows and literature. Culture was an important part of this presidency.
Obama, he always wanted to know what the book was next to his bed and what was on his iPod, right?
Jeff Edgers is the national arts reporter for the Washington Post.
And I don't think we had that before.
And when he would visit the bookstore on Martha's Vineyard or in Washington, D.C., everybody would be fascinated by, oh, what, whose book did he buy? And it seemed not like a setup job. It seemed legitimate.
Well, it's like Oprah's book club. I mean, she would also put her stamp of approval on it. And that shifted things. It changed things.
The Obamas also carefully chose the paintings that would hang on the walls of their White House. They started by looking through the work that was close at hand. But
the permanent collection of the White House was not going to necessarily check all the boxes of the things that appealed to the Obamas.
Dana Miller was a senior curator at the Whitney Museum of Art. She says the White House collection has lots of what you'd expect, 18th and 19th century portraits of distinguished white guys.
The Obamas wanted to be surrounded by art that reflected more of their experience in the 20th century. The Obamas were frequent visitors to the Art Institute of Chicago. They had their first date there.
So they borrowed different pieces from various museums.
They were looking to create a more diverse group of artists represented. So women, artists of color.
We're so excited about the Alma Thomas piece, its resurrection. Alma Thomas is the first African-American female artist to be shown here at the White House.
Michelle Obama giving a tour to the Today Show correspondent Jenna Bush Hager, one of George W.'s daughters.
You were the first lady to modernize a room in the White House. It's a pretty bold move.
It's kind of unbelievable that we haven't done this before because modern art and design is such an important part of the American tradition.
In the American tradition, Edward Hopper is Barack Obama's favorite painter. So his people called up the Whitney Museum, which has more Hoppers than any museum on earth. And Dana Miller arranged for two paintings to be loaned and hung in the Oval Office. They're portraits of Barnes in muted greens and browns.
It was this kind of amazing moment in that the light in the painting was mimicked by the light that was coming in the windows of the Oval Office at the same time, kind of the same direction, the same slant. And I get kind of a great rush when I see photographs of the president in the Oval Office having a meeting with, I don't know, the Pope or with John Kerry or somebody, and you can just see it in the background. You know, it's one of those details people absorb but might not notice, but becomes, I think, an important part of the history of this country.
In fact, there's a familiar picture of the president staring at the two paintings that hang in his office, and some less well-known photos.
Sometimes I get forwarded photographs of the president throwing a football in the Oval Office, and I sort of pretend like I don't see it.
The Obamas were really pop culture figures more than anything, not just conveners of performers at the White House, but more than any predecessors, performers, while he was in office.
Through the actions of my administration, we were able to stimulate the economy and get our country back on track.
Oh, yeah.
Like slow jamming the news on The Tonight Show.
President Obama stimulated long-term growth.
Or the time he sat between two ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously?
Or one of my other favorites, where the first lady rode around in a car with James Corden and Missy Elliott and sang about empowering girls.
This is all my girls, all around the world. Stand up, hold your head up, don't take nothing from nobody. This is for my girls, all around the
world. I'm so in love.
That's at the Apollo Theater in Harlem in 2012 when he was running for re-election, singing Al Green in front of the actual Reverend Al Green.
Don't worry, Rev. I cannot sing like you, but I didn't. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
Doing that song was a campaign stunt, but singing it so well himself was pretty amazing. The Obamas used their platform to put African Americans center stage, especially musicians. The Washington Post's Jeff Edger says that's great, all those celebrations of pop culture. On the other hand,
he has not gone to the National Gallery, once. And that's a huge departure. I mean, Laura Bush would go over there more than a dozen times. You know, they didn't participate in a fundraiser for the Ford Theater, which might not seem like a huge deal, but it's something that's done by all presidents. And they ended up canceling their fundraiser because the White House didn't have time to host anything. Why not a 45-minute walk through the National Gallery, or why not take in a symphony? Why not do something very publicly that endorses that thing and delivers a message that this is cool too?
Then there was the actual governance in these areas. Obama took more than a year to replace the chair of his National Endowment for the Arts. He did do something new called the Turnaround Arts Initiative, a program for poor schools. But so far, that program serves exactly 68 of those schools. I asked Jeff Edgers what he thinks was Obama's single biggest success in the arts and culture realm.
I don't want to downplay the importance of what he did. But I mean, I think in all, if you're going to pick one thing that happened during this time, is he basically was the greatest party host we've ever had. You know, we knew that if there was an event, a party, an opening, whatever, a concert, the right people are going to be playing, the right people are going to be speaking, the right books were going to be read. We just knew that this guy understood culture. And it made us, for those of us who love good art, it made us proud.
The people who performed at the White House were proud, too.
Hey now, I'm Bobby Watson, saxophonist, composer, bandleader, educator, and producer.
He played last spring at the White House at the International Jazz Day.
We knew from day one that the Obamas loved music, rhythm and blues, jazz, hip-hop. I mean, it's part of their life. It's part of their fabric. And I felt like I was at home. Music is bigger than politics. And so when a president brings in music, he is connecting so many people more than the greatest speech he could ever give. That just cuts across all barriers, and it brings us together.
Amazing grace. Amazing grace.
Obama is plainly moved by music, and when he sang, he could be very moving himself.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
This was a remarkable moment. It was at the memorial service for the Reverend Clementa Pinckney, one of the 9 people shot dead in the church in Charleston.
People dream when they listen to music. People reminisce when they listen to music. People cry when they listen to music. They laugh. That's what music does. And so I saw in Michelle and Barack, they have that.
In other words, they showed they could really feel other people's joy and pain. One of my favorite Obama moments did not get such big press. It was in 2015 in Des Moines.
Well, as you know, I've told you this, I love your books.
He visited the great novelist Marilynne Robinson just to talk for an hour.
Are you somebody who worries about people not reading novels anymore?
They discussed American history and Christianity and optimism and fiction.
The most important stuff I've learned, I think I've learned from novels, right? It has to do with empathy. It has to do with being comfortable with the notion that the world's complicated and full of grays, but there's still truth there to be found.
Complicated and full of grays. That's one thing that pretty much all art is about.
But there was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it.
Last week at the Golden Globes, they gave Meryl Streep a Lifetime Achievement Award.
But it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth.
Without ever mentioning the next president by name, she devoted her whole speech to him.
It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter. And I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life.
Inevitably, first thing the next morning, the president-elect of the United States got on Twitter and reacted again and again. Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, doesn't know me, but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. She is a Hillary flunky who lost big. It's an honor to be asked to perform for a president at the White House. So far, Bobby Watson, the jazz musician, has played for 2 presidents. The last 2, Barack Obama and George W. Bush.
If Trump was to ask me to play in the White House at this time, I would have to decline. I'm going to give him a chance to transcend and take on the gravity of the office of the president of the United States. And if he does do this and realizes the position that God has given him and proves to be someone we didn't think he was, I might play. But right now, today, no.